Volleyball has a solid start to its season, soccer struggles on the road, and the Talkin' Dogs has a new co-host. Hello and welcome to Season 4, Episode 1 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Kai Ulbrich, here with my new co-host, Keith Seek. Keith, why don't you introduce yourself to the Talkin' Dogs faithful?
Hey Bulldogs Nation, it's Keith Seek. I'm a sophomore this year, and I'm really excited to take a new co-hosting position next to Kai and work along with him, help tell you guys the story of what's going on in Concordia Athletics.
Yeah, and we're really excited to be doing this together. He was handpicked last semester to replace our old co-host, Aaron. We miss him dearly, but school and time and grades, they all move on, and so does the Talkin' Dogs. We keep chugging away with now my third co-host in my time here. I just can't keep one down. We had Cohen a couple years back, then we had Aaron, and now we're on to Keith, and Keith will hopefully be here for a while after I'm gone.
Yeah, I got big shoes to fill with Kai leaving the program after this semester, but we're gonna have fun and continue to keep the content rolling.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and we're going to just jump right into some Concordia sports. We have had three sports really get off and going so far. We've had volleyball, men's soccer, and women's soccer. Not to leave out, you know, your golf and all that, but they are still competing today in their first competition, so not going to talk about them quite yet, but lots of volleyball and a bit of men's and women's soccer from the trip to Oklahoma. But we are going to start off with what volleyball has been doing. They are currently 4-1. You might think, 4-1, oh my gosh, 5 games already by the first day of classes. And yes, they played August 18th, twice on August 21st, and then twice on August 22nd. They had their home opener against York on that August 18th, so their first game was a home game, ended up winning 3-0, and then they had a slate of 4 games in 2 days in South Dakota, in North Sioux City, which went, depending on how you look at it, probably honestly below expectations. Despite them being 4-1, this team has very high expectations, and you can see that in the national rankings, in the GPAC coaches' polls. They've been ranked very, very highly. So, yeah.
I think coming away with a four-game road trip in a tournament like that, you'd expect a 3-1 to be good, but this volleyball team actually has championship aspirations more than maybe a lot of programs here at Concordia, so we're excited to see where they're going to go.
Yeah, absolutely, and just to give some background on why the program has such high expectations, really specific ones, been to the semifinal last season, best finish ever in program history. So coming off of that performance, lost a lot of seniors, but still, you want to keep improving every single season. They came off a 28-4 record last year, 27-4 the year before that, 25-4 the season before, 25-6 the year before that. So just some really, really impressive seasons from Coach Ben Bolt, who's been here now almost 10 seasons. So he has a lot of experience. This team has a lot of experience. And the coaches' polls have reflected that. They were placed second in the GPAC and third nationally because, you know, Northwestern is pretty much always number one nationally, and they're in our conference. So that kind of hurts us for the GPAC rankings. But number 2 in the conference, number 3 in the nation. So you're expected to come in and win your games. And they've done that for the most part.
And when you talk about Northwestern in our conference, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. So it's actually a really good thing. We get them on the schedule multiple times a year and get that reps in against the NAIA's best volleyball talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And Northwestern, they have been a bit of a thorn in our side the last couple seasons. If you look at our last season, like I mentioned, 28-4, 3 of those losses came to Northwestern. Lost in the regular season, lost in the GPAC tournament championship, and then they got us at nationals. The national semifinal was a matchup against Northwestern, and they ended up taking us down there. If you look at the previous season, the 2024 season, again, just 4 losses, 2 of them coming to Northwestern. I believe we've been to the GPAC championship match 5 times in a row, and we have met Northwestern every single time. It's usually a 3-2 loss. That's just how it's been most of the time. Sometimes they sweep us, sometimes it's 3-1. A lot of the times, it's 3-2 in that one. And yeah, so we've been to the GPAC tournament final five times in a row. Most of those losses coming to Northwestern, two of them coming to Jamestown. Jamestown used to be a GPAC team, not anymore. They actually moved out of the NAIA. They were also a powerhouse team, making it deep into nationals every year. Them and Northwestern and Concordia kind of been the three powerhouse teams. But the GPAC in general, very solid conference for volleyball. Volleyball is a Nebraska sport. Nebraska is very good at volleyball. So you've got teams like Concordia. You've got Midland, who's always ranked nationally. You've got Bellevue, not a GPAC team, but always ranked nationally. So there's just a lot of talent in Nebraska and the Midwest as a whole for volleyball. So it makes our team train really well against some of the best teams leading up to nationals, which I think prepares them well. But then eventually you got to come up against one of those teams again. And like you said, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I think that's the goal for this team. Not too concerning to take a loss early on, especially with the amount of new people they have filling in roles. But going forward, as you get into that GPAC season, that's when you really want to start figuring out your starting six, figure out who's going to be coming in off the bench, who's going to be in that rotation, and then, looking to beat Northwestern. But yeah, we had a couple of standout performances. Shandy Fa'ali'i has been transitioned from a defensive specialist into more of an offensive hitting role, and she was definitely leading the offense in a lot of these games. She was our top hitter in multiple of these five. We've had Maddie Paulson getting into the action on offense as well as an outside hitter. We have Emma Brueggemann. She's been one of our top players on the defensive side, often leading the team in digs. And then we have a lot of new players coming in as well. I believe it was 6 of our 14 players that featured in the first game were new. So really good to see them getting in the rotation. And of course, you're going to be trying things out early on in the year, and we'll look to see how that all shakes out as we get further in the season. Anything else about volleyball? Any
well, yeah,
ideas?
When the rotation gets figured out, when these new freshmen step into roles that they're comfortable with, we'll see a more cohesive unit and a better team. It's just a question of, does the talent that we foster right now on the team compare with the talent of previous years, and how will coach use everyone to their best of their ability to accomplish the championship aspirations that we're hoping for?
Yeah, absolutely. Great points there. And yeah, I think that's pretty much all to be said for volleyball so far. They've got their next game coming up. They've actually got a lot of home games coming up in a row. They've got three. They have game against Mid-America Nazarene University on August 28th at Friedrich Arena at 6:30 p.m. So that's this Friday. Then they have a doubleheader on Saturday, August 29th. Against Columbia College and Indiana Wesleyan University. Those games are at 11:30 and 4:30. Then after that, they're going to be in Omaha for the College of St. Mary Labor Day Classic, then back for another few GPAC home games. So getting into the GPAC season already as we get into early September. But I'd say, let's get it rolling. Get that GPAC season going. Let's get some wins under our belts. And yeah, we'll now move on to men's soccer, which took a trip to Oklahoma along with the Concordia women's soccer team. So both teams played two games in Oklahoma against the same opponents, you know, just one right after the other. And coming from myself, a member of the men's soccer team, it could have gone better. We'll put it that way. It was a bit of a rough one for both the men and the women's team against both teams were that we played against were really good on the men's and the women's side. So definitely weren't losing to bad teams or anything, but the results could have just been a little bit better. Looking at the first game, it was against the University of Science and Arts Oklahoma, and that ended up being a 2-1 loss. All the goals coming in the first half of that game, Oklahoma struck first. Then we equalized, then they scored one about 10 minutes left in the first half. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get anything in the second half. Just looking at the goal scores, the first goal was in the 13th minute. Then our guy, Felipe Silva Mendez, he scored in the 25th minute of the game. And then Oklahoma took the lead, took the go-ahead goal in the 39th minute. It was a bit of a chippy game. There were a lot of yellow cards. Oklahoma got two of them, and we got 4. Looking at the shot count, it was a very even game, 12-14 in favor of Oklahoma. You can definitely tell it was a tale of two halves, with us having 4 shots in the first half, Oklahoma having 11. Then it flipped. We had 8 in the second half. They had 3. Definitely had the better run of play in the second half, just weren't able to get the goal. We did have a bit of a miss from yours truly with about 20 minutes left. I did miss a penalty kick. The goalie had a nice save on it. I got a ball in behind, got taken out by the goalie, and then the goalie ended up making up for it by saving the penalty kick, and that's what ended the game 2-1. Looking at the fouls, personally, we felt a little bit hard done by how many yellows we had in relation to the other team, us getting 4, them only getting 2. When you look at the foul count, of they had 18 fouls, we had 6. And they ended up getting half the yellow cards as us, but that's neither here nor there. It didn't really impact the game too much, so we'll leave that at that. Save count, we had 7 saves, split between Florian Kvost and Carter Wiebusch. They split halves in that game, still figuring out, the starting goalie situation, and getting a lot of rotation into the game as well. We had a lot of guys getting minutes and a lot of guys playing really well, just like with the volleyball team, figuring out that rotation, figuring out who your starting 11 is going to be, and then figuring out who those guys off the bench are going to be as well is super important, especially just because you never know, injuries, just fatigue, because it's a pretty intense schedule of you're often playing 2 games a week plus practices and all that. You need guys to be healthy. You need depth off the bench. That was the first game of the season. Then looking on to the second game against Mid-America Christian, that one was, again, not great. Could have been better. That one was a 5-0 loss. It was 1-0 at the halftime break, and then they put 4 on in the second half. Big contributing factor was the red card that we received early on in that game. We received that red card in the 23rd minute of play, which meant we had 70 minutes down a guy, which was a little unfortunate. It was 0-0 when the red card happened, and then we conceded a goal about 7 minutes after that. It looks like it went down as an own goal. It was a ball in behind that they crossed in, and it was our defender was trying to clear it, ended up getting it into his own goal. It was basically on the goal line, and there were 2 Mid-America players right there who would have scored it anyway. So he was just trying to kind of lunge out and see if he could get it out of there. Ended up not being able to. It would have gone in anyway. It might have already been in because it was spinning in a little bit. So definitely not like a his fault kind of thing. It was going to be a goal regardless. Then coming right out of the halftime break, first minute of the second half, Mid-America Christian got a second goal. And then they also scored in the 65th, 71st, and 86th minute to make it 5-0. Again, a lot of yellow cards for us. We had 3 in this one on top of the red card. And then Mid-America Christian had 1 towards the end. Looking at the foul count again, Mid-America Christian had 16 fouls. We had 12. Shot count was very lopsided in this game. Mid-America Christian had 18. We had 3. And then saves, we had 4. Mid-America Christian had 1. So yeah, it definitely was not the ideal start for the men's soccer team. Now under the leadership of Bernie Ochoa, new coach. He's actually a Concordia Hall of Famer for soccer, coming back to coach his first season as he's replacing Jason Wydus as the men's head coach. But Jason has not strayed too far from the soccer program. He is now the women's head coach after 18 seasons coaching the men, and we will talk about the women's team now, which also was like could have gone better and looked to be going really well, but then kind of fell apart towards the end. So they also played University of Science and Arts Oklahoma and ended up losing that one 4-0. That one was a very lopsided game, just watching it. The Oklahoma team was a very good team.
I mean, they made a deep run in the playoffs last tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're always a really good team, always making it far, especially on the women's side. That Oklahoma team's always making it far at nationals. And so it was expected to be a difficult game, and it ended up a few goals early on, definitely set them back. They were able to settle in defensively a little bit better in the second period of play, but the damage was kind of already done at that point with goals in the 4th, 15th, and 21st minute against the Bulldogs, and then a goal in the 51st minute to finish off the game. The shot count, again, pretty lopsided, 18-2 in favor of Oklahoma. And then, of course, with that amount of shot differential, we're going to have more saves from our goalie just by pure number of shots. So that ended up 7-4. Pretty clean game. Just 9 fouls between the two teams, no cards at all. So definitely a more respectable affair than the men's game was with a few less fouls and a few less cards. But yeah, then moving on to the second game against Mid-America Christian. This one was a bit of a heartbreaking game. This one looked to be going oh so well, and then it kind of fell apart in the second half. So we were up 3-0 at the halftime break. It started off great. We had a goal from Sadie Mares, a senior, in the 8th minute. We had a really nice chance going down the field. I think the goalie made a really nice save. The ball got cleared out to Sadie, who was about 40 yards out, and she just shoots it, goes in, crossbar, and down into the goal from about legit 40 yards out.
Wow.
And the men's team, we watched the first half of this one before going into the locker room, and we were all going crazy. You know, it was pretty sweet. Then we had a second goal from Guadalupe Sanchez in the 32nd minute. Then we had a third goal from Molly Kalsbeck in the 35th minute to take it to 3-0. So, emotions are feeling pretty good right now. Yeah, the attitude is pretty good going into the halftime break, up 3-0. But then coming out of halftime, Mid-America Christian scored in the 51st minute. Then they scored in the 71st minute. Then they scored in the 78th minute. Mm. And then they got the winner with a minute and a half left in the 89th minute.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, definitely not what you want to see, at least our team's scoring goals now. Now they just got to figure out how to keep them out. You know, the phrase goes, you know, offense wins games, but defense wins championships. So going to need to look at getting that lockdown on the defensive side of things. And of course, any result at this point of the season doesn't mean all that much. Of course, you want to be winning your games for national rankings and that sort of thing. Looking at large bids for nationals, you know, looking that far ahead. But at the end of the day, if you win the conference, you're going to nationals. So,
you bet. And another thing that can be said is these early season schedules are intentionally difficult because coaches are looking at building their teams to be the best by conference competition and not by the first couple weeks in the season. I mean, rankings and polls are great for us fans who are tracking these teams and cheering on their progress. We want to see them do well. We want to see them compete to the best of their ability. But right now, as we're continuing to develop team cohesion and skills and talents and placing everybody where they need to be, we're not going to see the results that us as fans would want as soon as we want.
Absolutely, especially when you think about the new players coming in on both of these teams. You know, the men's side has 11 newcomers, 4 American freshmen, and then 7 international transfers. So just figuring out new guys, not just new guys, but new guys from different countries, and all figuring out how to play together. The women's side has a lot of new players as well. And not just new players in the sense of freshmen coming in, but also just new players to the starting lineups. As we graduated, players like Kirsten Gardner, Nia Kirchner, Savannah Andrews, players like that who were building blocks for this team from their freshman year. They've been 4-year starters. Looking at replacing those people, it's just going to take a little bit of time to figure out life without them, and then figuring out new people into that starting 11. Couple freshmen who are playing pretty well in these games. Like we mentioned, Molly Kalsbeck, she scored one of the goals. She's a freshman from Kearney. Addie Snyder, also a freshman from Kearney. They both played considerable time in both of these games, played pretty well also, you know, with the one goal. And then, you know, Addie was playing at center back a little bit, in midfield quite a bit as well. So good to see a bit of a versatile freshman class and getting some new players in. But then looking forward to the schedule ahead, like you mentioned, the schedules are intentionally hard, and it doesn't get much easier from here. especially on the men's side. So both teams' next games, it's pretty far away. Bellevue on September 2nd, far away in the sense of time.
Home opener, yeah. Come out, home pull opener. Up. Come on now, Bulldog Nation.
This is going to be a home game. For the men, it is going to be Senior Day, and that's going to be at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, September 2nd. The women are going to play beforehand at 5:30. That is not their Senior Day. Their Senior Day is coming up on September 12th. Of course, a home game against Dakota State University. But then doing a little preview past Bellevue, this is where the schedule gets really hard for the men. Playing against William Penn University and Grandview University. William Penn, consistently a top 10 team nationally. Always good, always making it to nationals, always making it far nationals. And then Grandview is the defending national champions. So, like you said, hard schedule, but it should prepare us well for that GPAC slate of games. Then we'll be at York on September 12th, and then GPAC starts against Dort on September 19th. So definitely looking forward to these games, especially this Senior Day against Bellevue. Of course, I'm a senior now, so this will be my Senior Day, a nice little send-off. It really early in the season for a Senior Day, but again, neither here nor there. We'll enjoy it and hopefully be getting a win against Bellevue to celebrate. But yeah, I think there's not really many other sports going on right now. Like I mentioned, there is golf. There's women's golf going on right now. The Mount Marty invite, and that started yesterday and is going on today. So we'll talk about that a little bit next week. It's not really golf season right now. They do a little bit in the fall, and then their main season where they do all their GPAC competing and nationals and all that, that's going to be in the spring. So we'll cover them more in depth in the spring, but well, I guess Keith, you will. I'll be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll talk about them a little bit as they have their smaller competitions just leading up to that main spring season. But then the one other thing to shout out is football has its first home game this weekend on Saturday against Waldorf. It's going to be Parents Weekend. Football looking to improve on its 7-3 previous season and 8-2 2024 season. It is actually their 100th year as a team, which is awesome. Pretty exciting. So the team started off in 1926, and they're going for their 100th season. Coach Dabrakow said, while he's not, you know, looking at it too much, you know, it's not going to impact how they train or how they play. It's not going to have an impact on any of that. But he said it is a fun thing to look at. Not many programs get to 100 years, so it's definitely something to celebrate and something to look forward to. I interviewed Will Potraz. He's a defense guy, and he was saying he really likes these kinds of things. He's been talking it up this year, like, oh, guys, 100th season, you know, it's going to be a really good one. He thinks it'll give him a little bit of a boost, especially in those close games. So looking forward to seeing football kick off at 7 p.m. on Saturday night. And then just one more thing on Saturday, not to take you away from the football game, but the Lincoln Salt Dogs are having a game at 5 p.m. on Saturday as well in Lincoln, and it's going to be Faith Night, and they're inviting Concordia students to come for half-price tickets. So if baseball is more your thing than football, then you should definitely go out and check out that game. Can still probably make it back for some of the football game as well. But yeah, I think that is going to be all for Season 4, Episode 1 of Talkin' Dogs. So excited to be back with you all. Make sure you give us a follow. I know there's probably some new people listening. Where can you find us? I mean, you found us somehow. You're listening to this episode, but there's actually two ways you can listen. You can listen on the CUNE Sower website, or you can listen on Spotify. And on Spotify, that's the preferred method personally, because then you can follow us. You can leave us a 5-star review, which you definitely should do. And then you can get notified whenever new episodes drop. So yeah, Spotify, CUNE Sower website. Those are the best ways to find more Talkin' Dogs content. But yeah, that's going to be it for today. So on behalf of myself, Key Seek, and the entire CUNE Sower staff, have a good day and go Dogs!